week, we enjoyed the completion of that series that is called Church Life. Church Life is Not an Option. And what a journey it has been. We have gone so much into the Word of God. We've been enriched by the Word of God, and it was invigorating, leading us to live such a joyful life among ourselves and with one another. And what a beautiful journey it has been for the glory of God. We pray that it would last for as long as we are committed to God, even until Jesus comes back. Well, as we have completed this series, we thought, the elders have thought in this church, as a culmination to this series, is to deliver a message about membership. And that is, before we resume in the Gospel of Mark, God willing, next week, I am so anticipating with so much eagerness to really resume the expository of preaching this Gospel of Mark, verse by verse. But for today, I titled the message, A Call to Be Members. A Call to Be Members. Now, you better believe it. The Saving Grace Bible Church is only 2 years old. Would you believe this? It's only 2 years old. And we thank God immensely for growing us together to have such love for God and His Word. And that our love for one another is so evident. And we thank God so much for that. Who would have thought that we would have such delight in God in such a short period of time? Now, take comfort, brothers and sisters. Saving grace is a miracle in the making. It is nothing less than that. All glory be to God. But we're still an infant church. And because we are an infant church, we are still in a process in developing a biblical model of a church life. A model that we pray will bring pleasure to the heart of God. I want to talk to you today about what the Bible says regarding our official commitment to a local church. And that term that is commonly used in the evangelical churches as membership. Now, regardless of what term we use, I'm more interested in the meaning behind this term. And for those of you who have been here for a while, you know we don't mean legal document. We don't mean that you have to sign a piece of paper or even your regular attendance on Sunday morning service. No. When we speak about membership, what we mean is that grafting ourselves into a recognized, well-defined body of Christ with biblically qualified elders and in such intimacy with specific blood-bought people of God. So much so that if someone asked you, you would not say, I go to Saving Grace Bible Church. No, you would say, I belong to Saving Grace Bible Church. Where we would be cared for and that we would enjoy that loving one another and to outdo one another in showing honor to one another. That is what a membership is all about. It is part of a spiritual family that when one is hurt, he would forgive and that he would seek forgiveness. And when one is down, he would be encouraged and be reminded by others of the gospel and the promises of God and the joy that we can find in the Lord Jesus Christ to rejoice and to weep with one another. How important is this? If we call this relationship membership, then how important to God do you think your membership to the local church? Now, if you're a believer, but you're reluctant, or perhaps you don't know what membership is all about, or even if you're a member already in this church and your heart is growing cold and it needs to rekindle a new commitment to your brothers in Christ in this local church, well, today I want to persuade you, and I want to kindle a flame in your heart by the Word of God for membership to your local church. Why? So that we would be found faithful to God and also would be found obedient to His Word in this area of our lives. Calling you to be members of a local church. But before I explain to you from the Scripture what membership in a local church looks like and why that is such a crucial and necessary step in your walk with God, I would like to spend some time defining for you what a local church is, because I believe, again, there are misconceptions out there of what a local church is, and I believe that is what is hindering many of us of taking that step and committing to be members of a local church. What is a local church? Let's spend some time in that first before we move on to membership. What is a local church? Now, sometimes theologians draw a distinction between two different types of churches. There's a universal church, which is all Christians throughout history, everywhere. That is a universal church. And there is something else that is called local church. Now, other than a couple of areas in the Scripture, all other references to the church in the New Testament are to do with the local churches. We've got to know that. For example, when Paul wrote to the church of God in Corinth, it's a local church. Or to the churches in Galatia. Now, what is a local church? Some people think it's a building. Is it? Well, it says that Jesus died and shed His blood for the church. Now, I don't think that Jesus would have shed His blood for brick and mortar. But what is more dominant in our thinking, perhaps, is that a local church is a collection of Christians. And we think that a group of Christians put together praising God makes it a church. Is it? Is it true that a group of Christians together would equal a church? You know, like one sheep is a sheep, but a group of sheep is a flock. One cow is a cow, group of cows is a herd. Does that mean a group of Christians make it a church? You know, where people would say two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, does that constitute a church? Well, obviously, we do need a group of Christians to make up a local church, but that in and of itself is not the biblical definition of a local church any more than a group of students together in a library would make it a school. You still need to have a principal, you need to have teachers. Or any more than a group of sick people put together would make it a hospital. No. Now let me give you some verses from the Scripture that help us to see that a church is not just simply a group of believers put together. It's far more than that. First of all, for a church to be a church, local church, it has to have elders. Biblically qualified men. In Acts 14, verse 23, it says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church. Every church is meant to have recognized, biblically qualified men elders that shepherd the flock of God. And without elders, then according to the Scripture, just a group of Christians doesn't make it a church. Another thing. It's only in the context of a local church. Here is something that we don't usually hear. Women are called to be silent. Only in the context of a local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, Paul says the women should keep silent in the churches. Churches. For they're not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. Now, are women meant to keep silent in all believers' gatherings? No. Only in the context of local churches are they ever meant to keep silent. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us that communion is to be practiced only in the context of a local church. Time and time again, Paul in chapter 10 and chapter 11 says, when you come together as a church, when you're together as a church, then you practice the communion. Even in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, there is a specific purpose to the local church given by God that is not given just to any Christian gathering. The local church is not a collection of Christians, but an institution established by God. And He established those local churches to accomplish His ultimate purpose. And even the philosophy of worshiping as a church is very well defined in the Scripture. The local church is commanded to build up the saints in Acts 20 verse 28. That is not commanded to a gathering of believers. That is, a local church is commanded to build up the saints. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, it says, when a church, local church, worships together, it must be organized and in order. Now, that does not mean every time you have a Christian gathering, they have to worship in an organized way and in order. It's only given to the local church. Again, in Matthew 18, verse 17, it speaks of, if it turned out that one of those who claim to be Christians is living an outright sinful life contrary to the gospel, then the local church, not the elders, doesn't say the elders, the local church is responsible to point out those people so that the gospel of Jesus is not dragged into the mud before the world. Now, all these commands are only given to a local church, and they cannot be exercised by just a group of Christians. So what is a local church? Very quickly, so we can move on with the membership. A local church is a gathering of the redeemed, submitting to biblically qualified elders and practicing the ordinances of the Lord, namely baptism and communion. That is what a local church is. Two women or three women gathered in Jesus' name does not make it a local church if they're going to be speaking and they don't have an elder with them. For example, it has to be a gathering of believers submitting to biblically qualified elders and practice the ordinances of the Lord, baptism and communion. And I believe that each one of us is called by God to be a member of a local church. Now, objections. I got here two objections that I thought of that normally come up to the surface as we begin to talk about membership. I do want to cover them before we launch into the rest of the sermon. Objection one. You might think in your mind and say, when the Bible says love one another and serve one another, why do I only apply it in the context of a local church? Are you saying that I shouldn't love and serve brothers that are not in this assembly? That I'm not meant to have fellowship with people outside of the local church? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't love and serve other brothers that are not part of this assembly. Go ahead and pray and serve the missionaries worldwide. But what I'm saying is that the Bible is clear that your light of your resources that you want to shine far and wide must shine even brighter in the local church and among your spiritual family here. Meaning, don't just go and feed the poor and the hungry out there in the world while your brothers in the local church are starving. There is a priority in God's calling upon your life. That's objection number one. Now, the second objection. Well, you might say, well, I'm part of the universal church. Why do I need to commit myself to the local church? I mean, that's kind of controlling, isn't it? You know, I want to be free. I want to float around. You know, I want to listen to music in a different church and then listen to preaching in another church. I prefer to float around, be free. Well, let me tell you what the heart of this problem is. The heart of this problem is that we live in a culture that is consumer-driven. Now, where it says, I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, however I want to do it. And whenever there is accountability or responsibility, I'm not really interested in that. This ideology that says I am free to do what I want to do gives fruit to individualistic society. Just to be individualistic. And that stabs all good and healthy relationships in the heart. And the outcome is that it views all kinds of loving commitment of any sort of relationship as controlling because it disrupts its peace. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that membership is a type of a relationship that God established? Let me explain to you. In Genesis 1, God instituted a type of a relationship called a family, right? We have a husband, wife, and children. It's a family. And the first instance of that type of that relationship is expressed in Adam and Eve, right? And from there onwards, everyone that is born into the world is born into an instance of a family. You don't get a human floating around saying, I belong to the universal family. Belong to a family. And if you know someone that doesn't have a family, fatherless perhaps, or motherless, how do you feel? You pity that person. You feel sorry for that person. Why? Because if he does not belong to a family, he's not going to live his life to its fullness, right? And likewise, in Acts 2, God instituted another type of a relationship called spiritual family. Church. Spiritual family. And the first instance that was expressed was in the church of Jerusalem. And from that moment onwards, according to the scripture, anyone that is born again automatically was added to a local church. For example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who received his word, that was Peter when he preached, the first message he ever preached after God instituted this type of relationship. So those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Added to what? You see, the moment a person repented and believed, he was added to a local church. In early church life, there was no such thing as a private relationship with Jesus Christ. It was personal, but not private. And if a person was born again and for some whatever strange reason did not belong to a spiritual family, how would we feel towards that person? We pity him. We feel sorry for him. Why? He's not belonging to a spiritual family, and therefore he is not living his spiritual life to its fullness. Did you know that Paul, in his missionary journeys, established churches? Wherever he went, he established churches. And all the new epistles were written, the New Testament, epistles, were written to local churches. Yes, they are applicable to us, but they were written to instances of local churches. And those churches, they numbered their congregations, they knew their flock. In fact, they knew their flock so much that there was something called letters of recommendations. A letter of recommendation. Like if you read that in at the end of Romans, where Phoebe went from Ancyria to the church of Rome. And those letters of recommendation were to protect the flock from savage wolves or from intruders that will come into the church. And so that idea of becoming a Christian and yet not a member of a local church was foreign to the New Testament believers. Every single believer was part of a well-defined, recognized boundaries. It was assumed that he would belong to a local church. And so, if you don't belong to a local church, I would encourage you to listen attentively to those three reasons why I believe that it will be healthy for you and it will be vital for your walk with God to grow and to flourish as a Christian to belong to a local church. Number one, it is only when you become a member that you would be well cared for. God intends for you to be well cared for by a group of biblically qualified elders that are willing to pour out their lives in teaching you and guiding you and counseling you with the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he, that's Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. That's the church of Ephesus. And when he called the elders to come to him, it says in verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. Pay careful attention to all the flock. How important is that for God to say these words? How important is it to God that we pay attention to the flock? The last bit of that verse says, which he obtained with his own blood. What a loving God. You're so precious to God that not only he shed his blood to save you, but he's such a good shepherd. He loves you so much that he wants you to be cared for. Cared for, what does that mean, cared for? That is to be nurtured, to be nourished by dedicated believers. He handed you over to Ralph and I. And he says in these words, you better pay careful attention to this flock. with Sam and Ralph, you will give an account to me of how much you loved this flock. And if you rejoiced with them and wept for them and nurtured them, you'll give me an account to all that. And you know what I would say to God when God says that to me? I would say to Him, God, which one? Which one's my flock? Who's in my flock? Is it you? Is it you? Who is part of that flock that I have to give an account for? I wouldn't know unless you tell me, right? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you." Don't go and shepherd people that are not among you. Don't go and shepherd people in Craigie Burns Baptist Church. Shepherd those that are among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Now listen to this. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example. Being examples to the flock. In your charge. That means in your lot, your portion that is assigned to you. And I would say, God, who are those people that are in my charge? How do I know? God, who am I responsible for? Now, for those that are non-members, you are most welcome to come and hear the Word of God preached to you. And we would love to care for you as much as we possibly can. Don't ever get that wrong. But according to the Scripture, we're not responsible for you. We're only responsible for those who ascribe to the care and the teaching of saving grace elders. That's what the Scripture teaches. And the way for me to know whom I am responsible for through membership. Now, do you want to be part of this flock? How do you express your willingness to be shepherded? Through membership. That's the first point. Now, the other side of that same coin is that you're called to be a member because you're called to submit to elders. That is God's command for you. And it is biblical, it is healthy for you to submit to a group of elders. So, number one, you're called to be a member of a church in order for you to be cared for, so that the shepherds, the under-shepherds, would know who to shepherd. Number two, because you're commanded by God to submit to a group of elders. You see, God's will for you is not for you to freely float around like a fish in the ocean of God's churches. Now, God's will for you is to stick to your pond and to submit to the loving authority of elders of a church, of a local church. Let me give you some verses in the Scripture to affirm what I'm saying to be true. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." Another one in Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them." I didn't write this. I'm just delivering what God already wrote in the Scripture. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give, who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, obviously, when it speaks about obeying your elders, it's not talking about which school you should send your kids to or what size of shoe you should wear. No. All right? But it's another time, it's out of scope to explain exactly what it means by obeying your elders and submitting to them. But the question for you today is, who are your elders that you're commanded to obey? You see, if you refuse to join a local church and entrust yourself to the care and the loving authority of elders, then you don't have leaders that you would follow and obey. And if you don't have leaders that you would follow and obey, then how could you possibly obey those commands? You see? See, church life is not about a conference and then an iPod where becomes your music and then sermon index and YouTube become your pastor where you can download your pastor into your pocket and listen to him anytime you want. No. Local church life means that if you are in crisis and you need help, or if you want to enjoy all the promises and the blessings of God as obedient children, then you've got to have this mutually recognized relationship between elders that would shepherd you and you would be willing to submit to them. And this relationship is expressed in membership. Number one, I believe membership is healthy for you, that you're called to be a member because God wants you to be cared for by under shepherds. Number two, so that you would know which elders that you would submit to. And the third thing is for true fellowship to take place in your life. You know, to love and to be loved and to serve and to be served. There's a lot of misunderstanding about fellowship. You know, fellowship is not a meal that you have. Fellowship is not just to hang out and chit-chat. Fellowship, scripturally speaking, is sharing life together with believers. Sharing life together with other believers. Your heart is solid rock committed to Christ. And out of your love for Christ, you're grafted into a body of Christ where you share your life. This relationship is so intimate that the metaphor God used to describe this strong bond is a human body. Well, we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 and 27. And look at the correlation between membership and the human body and organs. It says, if one member, this is where we get the word membership from, if one member suffers, all together, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. You, it's actually plural, meaning all of you together, the body of Christ. Not part of the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Why does Paul say to the church at Corinth, you are the body of Christ? Because that church at Corinth is the body of Christ, and in another church in Ephesus is the body of Christ. And so on and so forth. You are the body of Christ and individually member of it. The body of Christ speaks of a local church. And individually members of it. Are you able to say that? Are you able to say that I am a member of the body of Christ in such and such location. That local church is the body of Christ. And I am a member of this body of Christ. You know, sometimes, you know, when a brother or a sister who belongs to Saving Grace Bible Church, it doesn't come for a week, and generally speaking, I would come back and say, worship was not the same without you. And a lot of times it feels like, you know, I'm missing an organ at home, and I have come here to preach without that organ. That's how it feels when we are members of one body. You know, imagine this. Imagine one day you're sitting and you're watching the TV with press the remote control, change channel, and as you're flicking the channels, you find that your thumb is hurting. And then you look at it and imagine, suppose that you get confused. Is this thumb part of this body or not? I'm not really sure. I'm confused. That's crazy talk, right? Imagine you take this and that idea and you go to see a doctor and you go to the doctor and you say, what's wrong with you? He says, look, this thing in me is just, it's hurting, but I'm not really quite sure, doctor, is it part of my body or is it not part of my body? That's insane. Well, you cannot be a member of the body unless you are a member of the body. I mean, I don't know. I failed to explain it any more than what it really is in verse 26, 27. So my question is, which local church are you a member of? Do you belong to a church where others are invited to feel your pain when you're hurt and are rejoicing with you when you are rejoicing? Let me ask you another way. How will each one know that you want to belong to this church if you don't want to wave your hand and say, I want to belong to Saving Grace Bible Church? How will we know that you're one of those people that you want us to care for and for your brethren to love you? I do want to mention one more time, I know I've mentioned it a few weeks back, but I believe it's important to repeat the list or part of the list of fellowship, the one another commands. Because such beautiful commands that perfectly blend in with that idea. And I pray as going through some of those commands that the weight, the force of these commands will convince your heart that you must belong to a local church. Listen, it says this, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, be patient with one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, stir up one another to love and good deeds. And the one that we did last week, be hospitable to one another. Now this is calling you for nothing less than total and continued commitment to one another. Now how can you possibly enjoy fulfilling these commands if you're disconnected from a local church? And so submitting to these commands is also impossible for anyone to do unless everyone is on the same page. We need to know who wants to be part of this. Who want to be members? So let me quickly recap. Number one, elders. To know who to look out for, you need to be a member. You need to be a member so that the congregation would be convinced as to who are the elders that they would submit to. And you need to be a member because you need this fellowship. You're commanded to obey these fellowship commands that I just mentioned to you. And when you're committed in this way, You're submitting to biblically qualified elders and supernaturally grafted in the body of Christ and always loving, always serving joyfully the body of Christ. Do you know what the impact will be? I want to finish with this. Just please open John chapter 17. Let me show you what Jesus said, what the impact would be. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, I want to be part of this thing that God is doing. John 17 and verse 21. And we'll finish here. Jesus says in his high priestly prayer that they may all be one. All be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us one. Why? What is the ultimate purpose, Jesus? Why have you established local churches? What is your strategy? I don't understand. He says, so that the world may believe that you send me. The world may believe. Evangelization of the lost. God promises that when we're committed in this way, that the lost will fall on their faces and believe the gospel. You see, there is so much at stake. The gospel is at stake. And so, why would anyone not want to be looked after and nourished and nurtured and watched out for by dedicated believers? What kind of Christians that would say, no, I don't want to submit to elders. I don't want to obey God and fellowship and serve one another. I don't want to. Well, if you say I don't want to, what you're saying is that you don't want to honor God by obeying Him. And if you don't want to honor God by obeying Him, abiding and keeping all these commands that I've mentioned, then at best case scenario, and maybe stretching it a little bit, it would be that you would have a deep-rooted sin in your life that you've got to repent of at worst. You may be a false convert. You may not be born again. Now, membership is not about controlling. I'm not calling upon you today to reassess and consider where you're at so that somehow we can impose on you to do something that is not biblical. And I'm preaching this and we've agreed on it together with Brother Ralph. It's because I want to urge all of you and call upon you to recognize that membership is biblical. And it is good for you and it is healthy for you and for the rest of us so that we can be all that God wants us to be. Amen. And if you have any questions in regards to membership, please come and see Brother Ralph or myself. We would be more than happy to talk to you about it.